just when you thought there was no hope for baby boomers. It's the Rational Boomer Podcast. Logic. Common sense. Compassion. Yeah, who knew? Now, here's Mike.
We're back on the Rational Boomer Podcast. Hopefully your day is going well. It is Tuesday. We had a hell of a Monday. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. We've got some emails as well, so we've got a full show planned for you. Old Soul was on yesterday, and I appreciate her coming in early this week. I believe she'll be here Thursday again as well. She's always a crowd pleaser when she's on. She always makes me sound great, or good anyway. She makes the show sound great, and I'm appreciative every time she comes on. Now, we haven't heard from Ed in a couple of weeks. I'm not sure what's going on, but I did get a note from him the other day and said he should be here coming up this weekend on Saturday when he would normally be here. So we're anxious to hear from Ed, find out what the fuck is going on and what he's thinking about all that's happening around around the country, around the world, for that matter. You know, last night, my wife and I go out to dinner a lot. We've told you that before. There's a place we go right near us. It's a place called Fletcher's. It's right on the lake here that we're on, and it's, you know, maybe a couple of miles away. And we go there because they have a special on Mondays, because I'm a senior citizen. I'm looking for good deals. Now, this is a deal for everybody, not just senior citizens. But every night, every Monday night, they have a deal where hamburgers are $7, which is decidedly cheaper from what it normally is, because you go in this fucking place and it's like $17-18 for a hamburger. We don't usually go there when it's like that, because I can find good hamburgers better price than that. But Fletcher's is a wonderful place. In fact, it's just right across the bay, and sometimes during the summer when the boat's out, we'll get in the boat, go across the bay, and then go to Fletcher's that way. We drove there yesterday. And it's, you know, we're there all the time. We know the waitresses and the bartender and some of the people that come in and out of there. But we're sitting there, my wife and I, just talking away, doing what we do. And this young man had to be in his 30s. Maybe, yeah, he was definitely in his 30s. Well-dressed guy. He walks up and he goes, "Excuse me, are you on TikTok?" And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "I don't follow you, but you come up on my For You page all the time. I knew it was you because I recognized you." And I, you know, and I'm always appreciative of this. Whenever somebody recognizes me, I'm more excited about it than they are. I guarantee you that, because it's kind of a validation that you're out there and people are paying attention. And I explained to him, I said, "I'm probably always on your For You page because of my social media strategy. I knew I couldn't come out there and be the smartest guy, the most handsome guy, the most talented guy. So I just put a lot of shit out there so you can't miss me." And he kind of laughed and we shook hands, and very nice fella. His name was Jeremy. He lived very close to the restaurant too. So what excited me about this is, you know, most of my audience is between like 45 and 65, which makes sense because I'm 64 and that just makes sense. I do have some younger listeners and viewers, and I'm very appreciative of them. And I don't understand it because I have two sons, 30 and 36, and they don't listen to shit I have to say. So when a young man like this walks up to me and says, "Hey, I listen to you," it intrigues me. And I'm appreciative of it too. If we can have some influence on these young people, maybe we can help them out as they get older and help them to avoid the same mistakes that we made. So anyway, I doubt Jeremy listens to the podcast, but I wanted to mention it. It was nice to meet the young man, and it's always nice to meet somebody who watches TikTok or listens to the podcast or watches the podcast. And it is a great honor for me when somebody comes up to me. I'm more excited about it than anybody else would be to meet me, because meeting me is not a big deal. It's not hard. I'm around. Anyway. Thanks, Jeremy, even though you're probably not listening to this. All right, we'd have some emails as we normally do. First one says, "Hi, Mike. As I get older, I got stupider by the day." I can relate to that. "I'm confused, so unconfuse me if you can. Not my best attribute, but I'll try. The $175 million Trump bond issue. Okay. There is going to be a hearing to determine if the bond is real. That happened yesterday, and we're going to talk about that. It has been posted multiple times on the internet that Trump put up $175 million in cash from a JP Morgan Chase account. If this is the case, then the bond is legit. So in your opinion, what is the real answer? All the best, Roy. All right. I just so happen to know the answer because I saw what happened yesterday. At first, I was a little disappointed by it, but then I realized what actually happened. First of all, in terms of your question about JP Morgan Chase account, yeah, that's bullshit. There's nothing about that. So there was a hearing yesterday about the legitimacy of Donald Trump's bond. Now, everything we saw about that bond company, they were underfinanced. They didn't do anything right. They aren't licensed in the state of New York. Everything about that bond was illegitimate. And the wording in the bond was kind of sketchy, too. It didn't say the bond was putting up money. There was no real money in their bond. It was basically saying, well, we'll make sure that Donnie pays the money if he loses the appeal. And he's going to lose the appeal. So basically, this was a promise, you know? And you don't take promises from Donald Trump because he's notorious for not paying his bills. So I was assuming he had trouble getting a bond. He was trying to pull a fast one. And in order to get another bond, it would be almost impossible because he was already scraping the bottom of the barrel. But then yesterday, we hear that Letitia James agreed to a deal with Donald Trump's attorneys and Judge Engoron to accept the $175 million bond. And I'm thinking to myself, what the fuck? Did Letitia James give him a pass or what the fuck? And here's what happened. And after I heard what happened, I figured out why it happened. The deal was that Donald Trump came to Letitia James and says, hey, I got this Charles Schwab account. It's got enough, the $175 million in the account. So that's what will be put up for the bond. And since there's cash there, no reason Letitia James not to accept it. So she did. But she made a caveat to this thing. Because Donald Trump is still trying to be a little fucking sketchy here. She said, the only way I accept that money or that account for the bond is if Donald Trump has no control over it. None. He can't touch it. The only people that can touch it is the bond company, should they have to pay it out. And the bond company will have to give us a statement every month so we know it's safe. So you're probably saying to yourself, why didn't he do that in the first place? And that's a good question. And a lot of people think, well, I'm disappointed. Donald Trump got out of it again. He wins again. No, he didn't. Think about this a minute. Okay, so he puts the bond up and he tries to put some little loopholes and little scammy shit in it. And he tries to pass it by the judge and the court and see if they'll accept the bond with no real money in the bond. Now, Letitia James had asked Donald Trump's attorneys, what is the collateral you're putting up? I have to know that it's legit. And Donald Trump and his lawyers never said, they would never tell what the collateral is, which is a little sketchy in its own right. I would think in that situation, it would be enough to cancel the bond. Anyway, that's why we had the hearing yesterday. So Donald Trump is out there yelling and screaming and saying, yeah, they're just trying to embarrass me. They didn't know what was going on. Well, of course they didn't know what was going on, Donald Trump. Because you didn't fucking tell them. You didn't do the job that was necessary. This is what I think happened. Donald Trump had this account where he could back up the bond for $175 million. But he didn't want to put it up. So he wanted to try to slip one by using this bond company and using a bunch of jumbled words to make it look like he was putting up a bond, but he didn't. But of course, Letitia James, a smart woman, Judge Engoron, a smart man, a smart judge, they figured out what the game was, and they called Donald Trump out. So at the last minute, he had to come through with this Charles Schwab account. He didn't want to do it. So he puts up this $175 million. Now he's got the bond. Now he keeps Letitia James at bay. She's not seizing and selling off his properties. He's safe until the appeal. And people think Donald Trump won this. But here's what you got to understand about this thing. When Donald Trump first put up the bond, what he was trying to avoid is exactly what happened yesterday. Donald Trump now has to tie up $175 million to this bond and not be able to touch it. Donald Trump is having money problems, and taking $175 million and putting it in this bond and putting it in a place where you can't touch it, that is a fucking problem, because here's what's going to happen. He's going to lose the appeal. So he's put this money in this bond already, and he's never going to get it back, because when the appeal doesn't happen, they'll just suck that money right out directly from the bond guy, and he'll never see that money again. You see what he was trying to do? He was trying to maintain a certain amount of money available so he can live, so he can pay his legal fees, so he can campaign and do this stuff. So as much as people think that Donald Trump won on this deal, no, he literally paid $175 million out of his capital that he cannot touch anymore and had to lock it up in this thing. That is the last thing he wanted to do. That's why he tried to slip one by. But he couldn't. Letitia James caught him. Judge Engoron caught him. And they made him put up the money. So Donald Trump was just trying to play games, trying to get through this without locking up any of his money. Didn't work. Now he's got $175 million in an account that's locked up, that he can't touch, that will be taken away from him as soon as the appeal loses. So it would be fun to see her grabbing all his properties and selling them. That would be fun. I would love to see Donald Trump have to deal with that. But if you're Letitia James, you don't want to go that route unless you absolutely have to. It's better to have cash available, like the $91 million that E. Jean Carroll has in a bond, $91 million in cash. And when he loses that appeal, sucked right out, given to E. Jean Carroll. So he didn't win this by any means. He was trying to play a game and it didn't work. Chase isn't involved in this at all. It's apparently Charles Schwab. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a little surprised there was this money in that account. I'd be curious to find out if they're going to do some digging and find out where that money came from. I doubt Donnie Trump earned it. So anyway, that's the situation with the bond. We'll probably talk about that more later on. All right, the next one says, I don't know if you remember the movie, The Trial of Adolf Eichmann. I remember it well. When they brought him into court, he was placed inside a glass box, small room. This is what they need for the orange buffoon. With one of those, he would not be able to spew filth from his mouth, and there would be the benefit that no one but him would be subject to his flatulence. The guards could stand outside the box. Like everyone else, I'm sick of him getting away with things no other human would be allowed to do. I want them to do whatever they plan to do on Tuesday. Peggy, Cajun Meemaw. Thank you, Peggy. Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a bit, because today it may already be done at this point. But prior to the start of the trial and the continuing testimony from David Pecker, National Enquirer fame, there's a hearing on his gag violations, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do to him, because right after court yesterday, he violated the motherfucker again. This guy does not learn. We'll talk about that more later. All right. Here is a note from Panzer. And just so you know ahead of time, and so you don't, You don't freak out. This is our daily doses of satire or sarcasm. Hi, Mike. I have an important message for all Republicans out there. The gag order imposed to President Donald J. Trump is a clear violation of the Constitution's first article, which he wrote himself, along with all other articles and amendments. How dare the judge using his own words against him? That is some judging. It's all fake news, a hoax, and a witch hunt. True Republicans know that the First Amendment guarantees freedom of speech and was intended for Republicans in order to be able to either threaten, defame, slander, lie, falsely accuse, even spread unscientific and false facts. Democrats should remember that during COVID's pandemic, President Trump used his First Amendment rights to suggest a perfect plan, like his perfect calls to get rid of it by injecting every American citizen with a dose of bleach in the bloodstream. We should have listened to him back then like we should now. He did nothing wrong. Go MAGA, Hanser. And again, for those of you that are unaware, that's a little sarcasm, a little satire. All right. Thank you, Panzer. The next email. Mike, I completely agree that Together with Old Soul, the podcast has more layers of depth. And for me as a Dutch boomer, a better understanding of why people think how they think. When I hear people talk about how bad Biden is and the question comes, why and do you have examples? It seems to me that the given answers are always extremely vague. Yeah, they are. Old Soul gave 2 weeks ago a nice insight that people only listen to their LNS and have no thoughts on themselves. Years ago, when I visited the U.S., I saw an interview on Obamacare with somebody from Virginia who was against it. Main reason? To be independent and to have right of choice. The question was asked how he was insured, and the guy said that Obamacare had helped him immensely because he lost his job and got ill. When I hear the members of Congress talk on OC, and it should be rejected, it seems they forgot that they have insurance upon death, if I understood it well. The opposite thinking is always a challenge for me to understand. The same with not registered immigrants who have naturalized to the USA as citizens and are now ones who are screaming the most on the opposites. I love the show, and it gives, at least me, for me, a ton load of clear information, much better than the so-called news shows. It seems the news nowadays have to have an entertaining value, and that truth can be violated in order to breaking news. Ghosts or Gosse. That's not Gussie. That's Gosse. G-O-S-S-E. I'm sorry. I'm an American. I don't speak a foreign language. I'm not good at that. So if you want to, when you send me another email, you may want to spell it out so I can pronounce it properly. And, thank you. You don't want to watch the mainstream media who's more concerned with entertainment, and you'd rather listen to the Rational Boomer podcast, which I appreciate, but are you suggesting it's less entertaining but more informative? Yeah, probably is. Probably is. All right, next email. Hi, Mike. I'm so sick of Trump blaming the witch hunts, corrupt judges, prosecutors, and having to be in court instead of campaigning, when indeed he is the one that is creating the witch hunts. He's the corrupt prick and always has been, and delaying the trials with filing multiple motions, such as judges to recuse themselves, change of venues, and other frivolous dumb shit he does to, as you say, delay the inevitable. Had he just let the Manhattan trial begin, it would be at least half over, if not completely done. By now, then, he could have been somewhat campaigning. Still other shit in his life going on. Not to mention that on last Wednesday, he was off and did not campaign. The stupid dumb fuck would just rather blame others for his fuck-ups instead of owning up to his own chaotic bullshit in this life. Thanks, Dennis from Iowa. Thank you, Dennis. Yeah, he does just like to rant and rave. he'd like to campaign. You know, he'd like to have some rallies, but he's got another issue other than time. And that issue is money. And he just lost $175 million. Donald Trump will always have a complaint, and he'll always have somebody to blame. Always. That's inevitable. And it'll be like that until he fades away and we never hear from him again. All right, about the trial yesterday, New York State lawyers and an attorney for former President Donald Trump. Actually, this is about the bond. They settled the differences Monday over a $175 million bond. Now, the agreement cut short a potential day-long court hearing in Manhattan that was to feature witnesses as part of a deal struck during a 20-minute recess. Lawyers for Trump and Knight's Specialty Insurance Company agreed to keep the $175 million in a cash account that will gain interest but faces no downside risk. The account so far has grown by over $700,000. The bond stops the state from potentially seizing Trump's assets to satisfy the more than $454 million that he owes after losing the court case brought by the Attorney General Letitia James. See, that's the thing you have to remember. Some people think that this judgment was dropped from $454 million down to $175 million. That is not the case. That is just the amount that he needs to put up in a bond to keep Letitia James out of his shit and selling his shit. When the appeal doesn't make it, when he loses the appeal, he'll have to give up the $175 million that he put up, and he'll have to pay the remainder in cash. And if they don't do that, then they'll start seizing and taking his shit. Now, Trump denies all the claims regarding this case with Letitia James. He's appealing the judgment, as you know. Judge Engoron, who in February issued the huge judgment after concluding that Trump and others had deceived banks and insurers by exaggerating his wealth on financial statements, which was pretty much proven. Monday's hearing, and at times was caught in a testy exchange with Trump attorney Christopher Keis. Now, Engoron challenged Keis with examples of how the money Trump had posted might not be available for collection if the judgment were upheld, leading Keis to respond in one instance that the judge's hypothetical is wildly speculative. Well, that's the thing, Keis. There is no room for speculation in this. You specifically have to put up the money, the bond. We're not going to allow Donald Trump to be trusted with paying it. Well, he says he would. He's got all this property. They can just take that. No, they don't want to go out and sell your shit because they don't even know if there's any value left after you've leveraged the shit out of it. So they want the cash. I got to tell you, the lawyers for Donald Trump in this bond case and in the criminal case, these are some dumb motherfuckers. Man, they make some stupid mistakes. Now, another point, Keis expressed frustration with the office of the New York Attorney General Letitia James, saying, "It appears that no matter what we do, they're going to find fault with it." Well, yeah, when you're trying to scam the system, it's very clear you've got to put up money for the bond. And when you don't put up money for the bond, yeah, she's going to question it. Too fucking bad. Let's not worry about her finding fault in what you do. How about if you just fucking do it right? Now, Andrew Ammer, an attorney for New York State, proposed settlement terms soon after he began speaking at the hearing. He said the state wanted extra assurances because Trump had raised the money with help from a relatively small out-of-state insurance company. As part of the deal, Knight's Specialty Insurance, a Wilmington, Delaware-based part of the Los Angeles-based Knight Insurance Company, will have exclusive control of the $175 million and will submit to the jurisdiction of New York while agreeing not to move the money into mutual funds or other financial instruments. Speaking to reporters in the hallway outside Trump's separate criminal hush money trial, his attorney Alina Habba said Engoron doesn't even understand basic principles of finance. "We came to an agreement that everything would be the same," she said. "We would modify terms and that would be it." Trump also railed against Engoron, accusing him of not understanding the case. But again, when they asked you for what the collateral was, you refused to give the information. You see how they play this game? They don't tell you stuff, and then they blame you for not knowing. It's always a bullshit game with Donald Trump, Alina Habba, and any of the other motherfuckers. He challenged the bonding company that maybe the bonding company was no good. Well, they're good, and they also have $175 million of collateral, my collateral. Well, that's well and good, Donnie. But the fact of the matter is the way that bond was written, it didn't show any kind of money at all. It was basically promises. And that isn't what bonds are about. They're about actual cash. You tried to slip one by, you thought you were slick, and then you thought, well, if they take it, and then when I lose the appeal, then I can fuck around with the money and not pay them forever or at least a long time. Well, they caught you. And it wasn't because they didn't understand the whole concept. It was because you tried to play a fucking game. You tried to slip one by, and you got caught. And now $175 million of your money, which you didn't want tied up, is tied up. You cannot touch it. And because you'll lose the appeal, you will never see it again. And you can understand why he would do that, because he's tight for money. He wants access to as much money as he can. He's got legal fees he has to pay. He's got a campaign to run. He's got his lavish lifestyle to live. But now he can't count on that $175 million. He was trying very hard to not have to put that up. But Letitia James was on top of it, made him put it up, and now he's stuck. Some people think he won. He did not win, because that money is coming out of his pocket, and that money is now gone, and he cannot touch it. Sure, he can appeal if he wants, but that money sits there as long as he wants to take the appeal. In spite of the fact he hasn't paid the state of New York as yet, the money is still gone. He still doesn't have access to it. So whether he pays the state of New York or whether he pays the bond, he still doesn't have the money, and that's the key. They're going to drain Donald Trump of his money with legal fees, whatever campaign fees he has, to live the lifestyle he has, to pay the bills. I mean, he's got a bunch of companies, but none of them are making money. The money to pay the bills to keep them operating is going to have to come from somewhere. Now, I don't know if he has more money sitting someplace, but taking this chunk out of his ass is not going to help matters much. So as much as I would have loved to see Letitia James go in and start seizing buildings and selling them, I don't think Donald Trump won this at all. In fact, I think he lost. He tried to be sneaky, but it didn't work. And as I've said with Letitia James, the reason she would agree to this deal is because if there's cash in the bond, that's much more preferable than her having to go seize buildings and try to sell them and try to figure out how much equity he has in those buildings. Cash is king, right? Cash is the way to go. And the fact she was able to pull the cash out of Donald Trump and take it away from him, far as I'm concerned, that's a win for Letitia, not Donald Trump. Oh, sure, he can appeal and she won't be grabbing his shit, but she doesn't really want to grab his shit. She'd rather get this all in cash and get it done and move on. But Donald Trump doesn't have that much cash. And when I say that, I mean $454 million growing every day with interest. He doesn't have that kind of money. So what's going to happen is when he loses the appeal, that $175 is going to be immediately sucked into the state of New York. And then he's going to have to figure out how to pay the remaining $275 or whatever it is. And he isn't going to be able to do it because they already got a big chunk of his money. So that's when it's going to come into the point where they're going to start seizing shit and selling his shit. This wasn't a win for Donald Trump, as much as people are disappointed because the garage sale didn't start right away. This is actually better in some ways because it's taking cash out of his pocket, taking it away from him, put in a place that he can't touch and will never see again. So it could have been fun watching the garage sale, but I'm cool with this because I think this pisses off Donald Trump more than anything. He may not let on that he's pissed off about it, but trust me, when you take $175 million out of somebody's ass, that stings a bit. All right. We are going to take a quick break. And we will be right back. Well, Donald Trump has a lot of things going on when it comes to court. He's got a criminal trial. He had the civil suit. And he had something else that was tied to the criminal trial that you probably heard. It was called Sandoval hearing. Now, what the Sandoval hearing is basically a hearing for the two sides, prosecution and the defense, to talk about what they can and can't say or ask Donald Trump should he decide to testify. It may be all very pointless because I can't imagine Donald Trump would be dumb enough to testify or that his lawyers would allow him to testify. Donald Trump is a perjury charge going someplace to fucking happen. But apparently he's being encouraged by his wife. And to some extent, he's not going to like the way things are proceeding because every day it's going to be bad for Donald Trump. Today, David Pecker is continuing to testify, his buddy from the Inquirer, who was part and parcel to this little catch and kill scam they were involved in. That's not going to go well. Pecker is a fact-based witness. It's not going to be up for debate. It's going to be very specific and very clear. So by the time Donald Trump gets toward the end of this case, he might say, fuck it, I'm going to talk. And I would love to see that. But anyway, they had this Sandoval hearing should there be a time when Donald Trump testifies. And apparently Trump appeared to be in disagreement with a judge laying out how he could be questioned if he takes the stand in the hush money trial. Now, before allowing opening arguments, New York Justice Juan Marchand held a so-called Sandoval hearing to determine what is admissible if Trump is cross-examined, according to the reports. The judge ruled that an Access Hollywood tape in which Trump brags about sexually assaulting women was fair play for the prosecution. Marchand also allowed Trump's gag order violations and the ruling against him in a civil fraud case to come into play, in which the former president owes $454 million. Now, they didn't play the video of the Access Hollywood thing, but they did read the transcript. And I, to be honest with you, I don't know who hasn't seen that videotape. Now, as Marchand is reading the list of prior findings the prosecutors can use to cross-examine Trump if he testifies, Trump is intermittently shaking his head. The judge went on to say Trump could be confronted with two defamation cases brought by writer E. Jean Carroll, who said the defendant raped her. Two juries found him liable for defamation, while one found him liable for sexual abuse of a woman. Trump has said he intends to take to the stand in his own defense, though several experts have said that would not be a good idea. I'm not an expert, and I know it's not a good fucking idea, but we know Donald Trump. Just let that motherfucker talk. He'll implicate himself every time, and while it would be stupid for him to do it, it's not beneath him because he's, well, fucking stupid. And if he feels desperate and he feels at risk, he may do it because Donald Trump is a narcissist and he thinks that he can talk his way out of anything. To be perfectly honest with you, since all these trials and things have started, I haven't seen him talk himself out of anything yet. The only thing I've seen him do is make it worse for himself. So if that's what he wants to do, Godspeed. Go ahead and do it, Donnie. I'd love to watch that, or at least read the transcript of how you fuck yourself over in this situation. But one of the things about him being questioned and the things they can bring up, it goes back to what I've said about Donald Trump. The biggest issue for Donald Trump is being embarrassed or somehow showing that he's not the image that he likes to portray. Strong, smart, rich, tough. By bringing these things up, it will embarrass him, not only to his family, but to the general public. It will expose things that he doesn't want people to know. And that is going to be the paramount problem Donald Trump experiences. And that's why when he's been hearing what the judge is willing to allow to be asked of him, he's shaking his head and he's upset about it. That may weigh on him and may stop him from testifying. I still think the idea that he's going to testify is a little hopeful. I mean, I'd like to see it or hear about it anyway. I just can't imagine that's going to happen. He's going to be in such a bad condition toward the end of this trial. The lawyers have to tell him, you're not going to make this better. You're only going to make it worse. All right, in the criminal trial yesterday, it was a shortened court day. They had the opening arguments, and those didn't go very long. They were going to stay in session till 2, which would be leaving early because of Passover. And tomorrow or today, they'll be done at 2 o'clock again for Passover. Thursday and Friday, we'll be back to normal schedule. But there was another thing that happened. And when I first heard about it, I go, what the fuck is that? Anyway, instead of leaving at 2, they left about 12:30, 12:45 or something like that. And that was because an alternate juror had to go to the dentist. And I'm thinking, fuck, man, change your fucking appointment. But then somebody called me on it and said, look, apparently it's a major dental surgery and it's been planned. So he needed to do it. And the judge accommodated him. Fine. It worked out. Now, it was interesting during the opening arguments. Typically, it's customary to let the attorney, whether it be the prosecution or the defense, to just give their opening arguments without being interrupted. However, Donald Trump's lawyers were saying stupid, crazy shit that was just flat out lies. And there were probably 6 objections to what this defense lawyer was saying, Todd Blanche. And it really broke up the rhythm for this Todd Blanche, and it was ridiculous. He was trying to say things to put something in the minds of the jurors of Donald Trump's innocence, and most of it was lies. So there were objections by the prosecution, Colangelo, and all but one was sustained. And then there were a couple of sidebars where the judge called both attorneys up and had a little talk with them. Didn't go really well for Donald Trump's defense team. And what you have to understand about Todd Blanche, he's a good lawyer, but he doesn't have much experience as a defense lawyer. His experience is as a prosecutor. And while he can probably handle the defense part of it, usually if somebody goes outside the box a little bit, they like to get a little experience with it because it is a different world from being a prosecutor. Well, he didn't have that option in this case, and it's starting to show because he's making some stupid mistakes. Now, Trump's lawyer, Todd Blanche, had said that the hush money deal with Stormy Daniels was made to protect Trump's family from the story becoming public, which there's evidence that proves that's absolute bullshit, and I'll tell you why. He also suggested that Trump was only following advice given to him by his lawyers, and that's when the prosecution objected. You remember when Donald Trump had the option to use as a defense that he had inadequate legal advice? And he said no, he wasn't going to do that. That's why we had the objection. Now, but you know, they wanted to put it out there in the ether so the jury heard it. Trump's lawyer, Todd Blanche, had said that the hush money deal with Stormy Daniels was made to protect Trump's family. Well, that's interesting, because here's why. Donald Trump got into cahoots with David Pecker to catch and kill some stories. And Donald Trump was ranting after court yesterday, and he was saying, what I did was perfectly legal. I'm absolutely innocent. I paid my lawyer with my check for legal fees. I wrote it right on the ledger. Now, where Donald Trump falls down here is the issue isn't paying a porn star or paying legal fees to your lawyer. That isn't the problem. The problem is when you pay legal fees, you call them legal fees, and they are in fact a reimbursement for the hush money. And that's where the problem is here. And there's a lot of evidence that suggests that's exactly what he did. There's an audio recording of talking about paying her cash. This is all prior to the election. Donald Trump wants you to believe, well, we just got to keep from Melania and the whole family. But if that's the case, here's an interesting scenario. With Karen McDougal, who's a Playboy bunny, Playboy model, I don't know. I don't want to diminish Karen McDougal and Stormy Daniels. They paid them the money, and then they made them sign DNA. It's not DNA, but you know what I mean. A contract that says I can't talk about anything. I can't talk about anything, which would make sense. The whole point was to keep her mouth shut so she doesn't expose the affair and all this other bullshit. So they make her sign the contract. But then a month after the election, they cut him loose from that contract. They said, okay, you can talk now. So are we to believe then, didn't want Melania to know before the election, but after the election, it's fine. Tell her. It's no biggie. It shows that he, in fact, was trying to avoid this getting out for the election to harm his chances in the election. And that's where the crime is. Like I say, Donnie says, well, I paid my lawyer and I said it was legal fees, so it's legit. But here's the deal. Donald Trump ended up paying back Michael Cohen the $130,000, but actually paid him more. Now, why would he do that? Why would he pay him more? He also said, you know, we didn't even write off that legal fee. Well, that was an interesting thing to say. That was a dumb thing to say, because here's the deal. If you're a wealthy businessman and you have legit legal fees, of course you write that off. So why in this instance did he not write it off? Well, he probably figured that he could get by with it with his own accounting and in his books, and he thought he was slick, but he didn't want to deal with the prospect of the IRS coming in there and digging a little deeper and finding exactly what DA Alvin Bragg found, this fraud. Now, he ended up paying Michael Cohen more than the $130,000. And he's trying to say that that's proof. Well, see, it had nothing to do with that. I paid him more. It was a bonus. Well, Donald Trump isn't a generous guy. He's a very cheap guy. He doesn't pay anybody any more than he has to. And he will refuse to pay people if he can get away with it. In fact, with Karen McDougal and Stormy Daniels, he was trying to get them to cut the deal but not pay them till after the election. And I guarantee you, if he had done that, he would have never paid those two, because he wouldn't have cared after the election. So why did he pay Michael Cohen more money? Michael Cohen literally got a second mortgage on his house to pay Stormy Daniels $130,000. And they're trying to say, well, Michael Cohen did that on his own. Why would he do that? why would he pay off a porn star that he has nothing to do with for the benefit of Donald Trump, but Donald Trump didn't tell him to do it? That's fucking absolutely ridiculous. So now why did he pay him some $400,000 instead of the $130,000? Well, here's the deal. If you pay a guy a certain amount of money, there is going to be taxes that Michael Cohen would have to pay. If Donald Trump is simply repaying a loan, there would be no taxes. So he wanted to make sure it looked like just fees. So in order to compensate Michael Cohen for the taxes he would have to pay on this thing, he had to pay him a lot more money, which is really interesting because it says how serious Donald Trump was about covering this shit up. Like I said, Donald Trump is a cheap motherfucker. He doesn't pay anybody any more than he has to. And if he can get away with not paying them, he will do that. But in this instance, he agreed to pay Michael Cohen considerably more than he was entitled to reimburse the $130,000 that he paid. Donnie Trump dug deep on this one because he had to. He had no choice. He wanted to keep Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal quiet up until the election, but after the election was over, he said, go ahead, talk. We let you loose. This is the kind of evidence that Alvin Bragg has, and this is why Donald Trump has problems. There were like six objections. All of them were bullshit. All of them were to try to taint the jury. All but one of the objections was sustained, and the judge had to call them both up and straighten some shit out. This should give you an indication of the kind of things that we'll be looking at in the coming couple of months. There is going to be all kinds of bullshit and all kinds of scams and sketchy shit that Donald Trump and his lawyers will try to pull. I will say this, the lawyers on the prosecution side are smart, Judge Marchand isn't going to be having it. Now, there's one thing that Donald Trump is really annoyed by. You know, he's up for 34 criminal charges. He had the bond issue. But you know what he's mad about? And this is quintessential, classic Donnie Trump. Trump is enraged about how he looks in the courtroom sketches at his Manhattan trial, and he thinks the sketch artist is trying to make him look bad on purpose. No, Donnie, nobody has to try hard to make you look bad. You do a fine job on your fucking own. Now, according to Rolling Stone's Ryan Bort, Oswin Subang, and Catherine an Italian name. It doesn't make a difference. The former president privately asked people close to him if they agree that the courtroom sketch artist must be out to get him, two of the sources say. Well, of course they're out to get you. Donnie, you're fucking paranoid. Most people are out to get you. This sketch artist probably could give a shit. When he draws a picture of you sleeping in court, it's because you're sleeping in court. Or that you look fat because you are fat, or you look stupid because you are stupid. Trump has critiqued the sketches of him that have circulated in the media this week and insisted some of the images were likely drawn to make fun of him. One such sketch captured Trump snoozing with his eyes closed and his head tilted. Moreover, on Tuesday lunch break in court, Trump was seen licking his lips as he walked down the middle aisle before flashing a small smile at the courtroom sketch artist as he exited, licking his lip, trying to look sharp for the sketch artist. Please make me look like the NFTs I put out. Give me muscles and a Superman costume. Now, Trump spokesman Steve Chung, known for his bombastic insults and his own misadventures in the courtroom, denies this, saying none of those sources know what the hell they're talking about and clearly have no access to any type of factual information. These are the types of losers who will try to peddle fantasy as fact because they live miserable existences. Well, we've heard Donald Trump complain about sketch artists before in the E. Jean Carroll case. And the idea that he might be freaking out about this, that sounds right in line with who Donald Trump is. So you can deny it, but I'm buying it. Now, this is not the only gripe the former president has over the minutiae of his trial, where Alvin Bragg is accusing him of falsifying business documents to cover up a hush payment to adult star Stormy Daniels. The report also notes Trump is enraged with the ongoing coverage of how he feels or how he keeps falling asleep in court, and that in particular, he blames the coverage of this on Maggie Haberman, a New York Times reporter who has tailed him closely and been granted access to his inner circle for years. Yeah, Donnie Trump is telling people that now the media is out to get him too. They're trying to make him look bad. Donnie just cannot understand that when he walks out, says the things he says, does the things he does, that's enough to make him look bad. Nobody has to hype anything up. Nobody has to lie, Donnie. You look like a fucking fool. You've always looked like a fucking fool. Everybody knows that, but apparently you don't know that. Now, when it comes to the gag order, Donald Trump just cannot fucking help himself. I mean, he's an absolute idiot. He's got the hearing for the gag order today. Last night after court, or yesterday afternoon after court, he was bitching about Mark Pomerantz, who's a witness, who he's not supposed to speak about. He was talking about the jury, which he's not supposed to be speaking about. So we've got all these violations. Plus, he just did it last night, and he's got a hearing today. Brilliant. New York State Supreme Court Judge Juan Marchand handed down the gag order, of course, last month. Then he expanded it last week, barring the former president from bad-mouthing or threatening jurors, potential witnesses, attorneys, court staff, or their families due to Trump's penchant for making threatening, inflammatory, or denigrating statements about those who dare cross him. Now, still, Donald Trump, facing the 34 felony charges for falsifying business records related to the $130,000 payoff, he's doing it again. He literally cannot help himself. He is flailing. He doesn't know what to do, so he just fucking does everything. He does absolutely everything. After opening statements were presented in his criminal trial, the first ever for a former U.S. president, he's the first twice impeached, first indicted, first to go on trial for criminal charges of all the presidents in history. So he's got that going for him. But he was talking to reporters in the hallway outside the 15th floor courtroom, and he may have violated the gag order in the process. Yeah, I think he did. He said, "I got indicted. I'm the leading candidate. I'm beating Biden," Trump complained to journalists. He then lit into his former lawyer and fixer, Michael Cohen, who is expected to be called as a witness, describing him as a crook who went to prison for things that had nothing to do with me. No, Donnie, it had everything to do with you. It had to do with paying, tax evasion, among other things. But he was doing Donnie's bidding. That's the problem Donnie is going to have to deal with, Michael Cohen speaks. He is an attorney. He knows how to speak, and he's going to give testimony that is going to be very damning to Donald Trump. And yes, you can say that he lied in court and that he went to jail, but he was doing it for you, dumb fuck. Cohen was sentenced to 3 years in federal prison for tax evasion and lying about the Stormy Daniels payment, as well as $150,000 payment to Playboy playmate Karen McDougal, which he said he did to protect, wait for it, Donald Trump. And that's the only reason he could have possibly done it. He didn't have an affair with Karen McDougal or Stormy Daniels. Donald Trump did. Now, Donald Trump says he didn't. I have a feeling that Stormy Daniels may have some evidence and Karen McDougal may have some evidence that he did. And then what is he going to do? Now, posting to X following Trump's courthouse attacks, Cohen said, "Hey, Von Shits in Pants, your attacks of me stink of desperation. We're all hoping that you take the stand in your defense," he added. Trump then bellyached that his trial is taking him off the campaign trail. No shit. I should be in Georgia now. I should be in Florida now. But as an emailer earlier posted, when he does have the day off, like on a Wednesday, like this Wednesday, he doesn't go anywhere. He doesn't do any fucking thing. He just likes to whine. He likes to be the victim. He is paranoid as hell. But I hesitate to say he's paranoid, because if he's paranoid, he thinks everybody's out to get him. And the fact is, a lot of people are out to get him, but not for anything but good reasons. He broke the law multiple times. He may be one of the most prolific criminals around today. 91 felony charges, for fuck's sake. Donnie said, I should be a lot of different places right now campaigning, and I'm sitting here, and this will go on for a long time. It's very unfair. The judge is conflicted. As you know, it's very unfair. What's going on? Well, Donnie, if you can't do the time, don't do the motherfucking crime, to quote Beretta from the 70s. Trump also tested the limits of his gag order with regard to former Manhattan prosecutor Mark Pomerantz. I mentioned that earlier. He came out of retirement to work on the case and may now be called as a witness. He claimed that Pomerantz, a well-respected attorney, did bad stuff and was caught lying, taking a page out of his usual playbook and deeming the entire case a witch hunt. He's a witness. You can't be talking about a witness when you're in a gag order that specifically says, don't talk about witnesses. Trump went on to say, I did nothing wrong, claiming the trial was simply a ruse to keep me off the campaign trail. Then he goes, so far it's not working because my vote numbers are higher than they've said, because the public understands that it's a witch hunt, Trump insisted before walking off. Thank you very much. Well, I don't know who's getting the numbers, but he's not doing that well. And if he really wants to check and see how well he's doing, take a look at how his fundraising is going. It's half of Joe Biden. You're sitting in this little courtroom. Joe Biden's bouncing around the country campaigning like a fucking candidate for president does. And you're sitting there pouting, crying, and whining. Now, today's proceedings either will or already have begun with a contempt hearing over accusations from prosecutors that Trump has already violated the gag order. Says here 7 times, it's more like 12 times, and maybe with yesterday, 13 or 14 times. The former president is gone after, among others, Merchan's adult daughter, who he sees as a Trump hater, thanks to her professional work as a political consultant whose clients include Democrats. Has no bearing on the case at all, but Donnie needs something to fucking whine about. The contempt hearing was scheduled well before Trump's rant on Monday afternoon, an abbreviated day in court to allow a juror with a toothache, or it's not a toothache, it's dental surgery. So by the time you hear this podcast, that hearing may be over. And it's going to be very interesting to see what Judge Engoron does. I mean, Donald Trump has pushed this to the limits. He's violated this gag order multiple times. What is Judge Merchan going to do? There is no question that if this were anybody else, Donald Trump would already be in jail. Anybody else would be in jail right now. Now, what is Merchan going to do? I'm not even going to predict, because by the time you hear this, it might already be done, and then I'm wrong. I don't know what Judge Merchan is going to do at this point, you know, at about midnight going into Tuesday morning. But he needs to do something. If he doesn't do something, this could very well turn into circus. And Donald Trump is certainly capable of doing it, and it's exactly what Donald Trump wants to do. This is his normal modus operandi. Confuse, create chaos, and hope to God you can find a way to slip out. Well, I've got news for Donnie Trump. You've got 34 felony charges that you're facing here. The evidence looks pretty damning. The witnesses look pretty damning. A lot of the fucking witnesses coming up are your former inner circle. David Pecker, a buddy from the National Enquirer, Michael Cohen, his personal lawyer and fixer, Stormy Daniels, the woman who got the money, who had the affair with you, that probably has the receipts. And then there's Karen McDougal, who's in the same situation. And then there's Hope Hicks, who was your advisor, was very close. Now, do you think David Pecker, Michael Cohen, Hope Hicks, do you think they're testifying for the prosecution so they can help you, Donald? No, of course not. That's not what's going to happen. These people have seen the end of the line, that you're no longer worth being loyal to because you're going over the cliff. You're going down. These people are going to try to protect themselves and try to keep themselves out of jail or any other kind of harm. This is going to be very hard for Donald. I know when Pecker was up there, Donald Trump just kind of glared at and just stared down David Pecker as he was on the stand. Now, he was only on the stand for a half hour, 40 minutes or so. Today, he's on probably all day. And that's when the evidence, and we're going to see what David Pecker says. And there's going to be a lot of shit that he says that Donald Trump will not want to be said. So we'll see, after having the gag order hearing, if Donald Trump settles down and understands the potential danger he's in from speaking up. And then it's a matter of, is he capable of keeping his mouth shut and not speaking out and turning this into a shit show? This is when things start to get ugly. The witnesses will come through, and each one of them, with the evidence that accompanies them, is going to make Donald Trump uncomfortable. And he's going to have to be sitting there every day, every minute, listening to this shit. And it's not going to go well. He's going to understand that he's in some deep trouble and he's likely to be convicted. I guarantee you he's going to be convicted of multiple criminal charges. But this is where the fun part starts. How is Donald Trump going to handle this after he's been reprimanded for violating the gag order multiple times? We'll see if there's any punishment. But if the punishment is minimal, like this, these fines they were talking about, $1,000 per infraction, that's ridiculous. That doesn't stop him. But it lays down the law, so to speak. You did this, we fine you. If you do it again, we're going to have to come down hard on it. And if he gets out of hand in court, it's conceivable they take him to another room, put him on a video camera, and have a mute button so they can shut that dumb fucker up whenever he starts ranting and raving. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. By the time you hear this, we may already know what's happening with that gag order. So I'm going to get up early and hope to God Donald Trump gets some accountability once and for all. All right, we are going to wrap up the Rational Boomer podcast. I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen. I hope you have a great day, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Boomer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time.